Welcome to Instructional Coaching with Miss B, where we believe that every teacher deserves a coach and every coach does too. I'm Chrissy Beltran, an elementary teacher who became a coach, and I had to create my own coaching program that worked. Now I teach coaches how to design their coaching programs, build a school-wide action plan, and use differentiated strategies to support teachers. Plus, I've got a special spot in my heart for literacy coaches. Now let's dig into the episode. Hey, Coach, and welcome to episode 224 of Instructional Coaching with Miss B. Today, we are continuing our study on developing a coaching action plan with some work around PD topics. The question that I receive from coaches is, how do we prioritize PD topics? And then how do we actually make sure that what we work on during PD gets implemented in the classroom? And those are such good, good questions that I wanted to create a whole episode around them. You, of course, can grab an action plan guide and little mini challenge that will come straight to your inbox at buzzingwithmissb.com/action plan. I do recommend it if you feel like you are just kind of like trying to cram as much learning into people's brains and you don't have a clear focus for your work and you're just getting through the week every week, marking stuff off your list, but there's no real cohesive plan for your coaching work, definitely check it out at buzzingwithmissb.com/action plan. And then I have the action plan toolkit that you can grab in my store at Teachers Pay Teachers. If you search for Chrissy Beltran or Buzzing with Miss B, it'll pop up and you can grab that action plan toolkit for instructional coaching at three different levels. My guest today is Monica Bennett. She's going to share with us a little bit about identifying possible PD topics, narrowing them down, and some ways that we can get teachers excited and using the professional development that we provide. So let's welcome her. So let's welcome Monica to the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you.
As a way to introduce yourself, we would love to hear about a few things. Who do you help and how do you spend most of your time and energy at work?
Well, right now I'm working as a curriculum developer. So I work from home, creating curriculums as a freelancer, different projects. But I also create my own resources for teachers and coaches. That's available in my TPT store and on my website. So previously I was an instructional coach and vice principal. So a lot of those resources were created when I was in that role, and I still love getting into schools and doing trainings occasionally. So that is what I do at the moment.
Awesome. And then this year I've made it my own, I don't know, something I really just really want to do, like a kind of a goal that I want to share hobbies with people, because I feel like we spend so much and give so much of ourselves to our schools, but we need to have hobbies outside of school. So what is a hobby that you love to do?
I love doing anything relating to water, being on the lake and skiing, jet skiing, all that kind of stuff. So swimming, yeah, anything relating to water.
Are you near a lake?
A few hours away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So the topic we're talking about today is looking at PD topics, narrowing them down, figuring out which is going to be the most important for teacher learning, and then developing a plan to support teachers actually implementing all those things that they learned during PD. So how do you go about identifying possible PD topics for a school?
Well, the first thing is like looking towards new things that are coming from the district or from the school administration. So maybe you're going to have a new curriculum that you're going to ask the teachers to use, or the district is really wanting teachers to focus on a certain teaching strategy. Anytime you've got something new coming down the pipe, you need to have professional development ready for that. So always thinking in advance of those new things coming out. Then just listening to teachers, asking them about their challenges. Occasionally, I would send out a survey. I didn't always get great response from that. Usually, I find it better to just, when I'm in their meetings or just talking to them in the hallway, asking them questions about that. And I find a lot of times, teachers don't always know what professional development they want or need. So getting as specific as you can with your question, instead of just saying, what PD would you be interested in? Ask them, you know, How are your students participating well in class? What's your greatest challenge that you have? Are you struggling with certain kinds of behavior in your class? And being as specific as you can, because they don't, when we ask these big questions, they don't always know right away what their most biggest need is. Right. And then also just walking around, getting into classrooms. When I was full time in the school, I would pop into classes all the time. And sometimes it would just be for a few minutes. And I was just wanting to see what was going on in a regular lesson in a regular day, popping in during different times, not always the same time every day, right? Because you want to hit them after lunch, you want to hit them at the end of the day, in the morning, because you're going to see different things. So just that helped me get a lot of ideas. I would collect data about things that I saw happening a lot in the school and various teachers' classes. So I, remember one time I went around and I was just collecting data on, okay, I'm gonna pass by every classroom certain times of the day, and I'm just gonna see, are students working individually and silently at their desk? Are they working in groups, or are they doing something else? And I was just trying to see, and I realized, oh my gosh, almost always I found them sitting quietly at their desk, not talking to anyone. So I realized that was something maybe the teachers needed help on. How can I get them working in groups more effectively, and what are some different strategies? So those are a few things I use when I'm trying to discover topics.
Yeah, I like that. I really like what you said about challenges and struggles teachers have, because that's a great way to meet the needs that they have, even if they don't know what they're trying to learn. Because obviously, if they're having a challenge that they're constantly battling in their classroom, then that is an area of growth. Like, that's an area we can really support them in. But they might not say, well, I need more engagement strategies, because they might not always know that's the problem. It can be hard to see that whenever that's like your own little world that you're in, like in your little teacher bubble. Seeing outside of that is it's difficult sometimes. So that's the benefit that we have. We can come in and be like, oh, well, they're lacking engagement strategies. That's why kids are, just shouting out or whatever. There's no structure. And I like the visiting all the classrooms. I call that a classroom sweep, where you go visit everything and you kind of take a look and see what patterns are you noticing. Like having the focus where you were like, what kinds of work are kids doing? Are they engaged with a team? Are they, with a partner, or just on their own? And if they're always on their own, that's a great place to go for PD for sure, to identify, okay, this is like a big concern that we have across our school. It's going to meet needs in a lot of classrooms. So that's great. So then after you go, like you visit your classrooms, you have your information that you've gathered, maybe you did send out a survey asking about challenges, or you talk to teachers and you have all these different ideas for PD. How do you narrow them down and prioritize them when you have very limited teacher learning time? Because that is often super limited. Like some districts do, maybe a couple days at the beginning of the year, and then maybe another couple of days in January, and that might be it, or the only the beginning of the year sometimes. We do, like in my area, a lot of the schools do early release days a few times of the year. But honestly, in the spring, that stuff gets eaten up by testing protocols. So you don't really have a lot of time there to play with
Yeah,
release days.
definitely.
So how do you narrow it down and figure out, well, what am I going to focus on?
When I'm thinking about those precious, like, whole school PD days, the biggest things I think about is, okay, I need a topic that's going to be relevant for the most number of people. Like, I don't want to do something that's about small group reading centers, and mostly only my younger grades use that. And now all these the older grade teachers feel like they're just wasting their time, right? So I want something that's going to be relevant to all the teachers, across the grade level, across subjects. And then I think about, it's kind of like those things that snowball into other things. So it's like, if they work on, for example, behavior management. Behavior management is a thing that will affect so many other things in your classroom. So if behavior management's a problem to a lot of your teachers, that's where you need to start first, because it's a snowball effect to other things. Whereas if I start at the end on some smaller issue, like perhaps, assessing students or something that is not going to affect quite as many things all at once, then it's maybe not as beneficial to our time. So I always want to pick those big things that I know, okay, this is going to help them solve multiple things going on in their classroom. And that's where I want to start. Then with all those kind of other ideas that I'm like, okay, I don't have any more whole school PD days. Then I start thinking about, maybe there's other topics that I think are important, but are really only relevant to a few teachers that I could do in their team meeting or on a one-on-one with teachers, and I try and think of other ways that I could give them that information besides just through that whole school PD.
Yes, I like that. Those foundational pieces, it's such a good point. Things that everybody can benefit from and that would change the most in their classroom if that one thing changes. I think that's like you mentioned, management is like the foundation for everything. And whenever that's not in place, nothing else is in place. And then things like, academic vocabulary or, oral language, things like that, that everybody needs to be doing thoughtfully in their classroom that they may not have the resources or tools to do that yet. Those are great points. One of the ways that people get around that that time limit is that they'll do optional PD, like maybe after school or before school, or they'll do like a lunch and learn, different things. So what are some ways that we can get teachers interested in participating in those optional PDs if they're not required?
I think first of all, just making the options flexible. If all of your options only take place after school, well, if they have some specific reason that they have to leave right after the end of their contract time, they're never going to be able to go, right? So you got to be flexible somehow. And that means various different times. It means various ways of presenting the information. So not all teachers like sitting down and listening to you talk about something. So sometimes they want you to just give them a paper to read on their own, and then they can come to you and ask questions, right? So offering a lot of different opportunities that are for different styles of learning. And then also, I find that if I get a few teachers who are like interested from the beginning, and then I ask them to share their experience with other teachers, sometimes teachers will get interested that way. So I might ask in a staff meeting or a team meeting, I gave this optional PD about such and such topic. And I would ask a teacher who had been, what's something you learned from it, or how what have you implemented in your classroom relating to this topic? And so the more that kind of helps other teachers who weren't a part of it to hear, oh, she learned all these great things through that optional PD. Maybe next time that's something that I would be interested in. So kind of let them convince each other to do it.
Yeah, sort of a little commercial. You have like a spokesperson. Yeah, I like that. I think you mentioned like people like to read things and just, like do the learning on their own. You provide them with the resources, they learn, and then they may come to you if they need support. And I think that's a really good way to PD subscription boxes. People can use like that where they have different like units in their space, and then people can check those out as needed, or you can offer them here and there, and just having them ready is a really great way to go. So how do you, so like, let's say you've done PD on management, for example, you did your big 2 days at the beginning of the year. And then what we see a lot of times in schools is this once and done sort of model for PD where people get stuff up front, they front load everything, and then they don't talk about it again ever. So how do you follow up on PD opportunities to see if they're being implemented? What does it look like?
Yeah, this is such an important question. And I think this is part of why teachers think that PD is a waste of time sometimes because it's not enough information for them to actually use it in their classroom and no follow-up happens. So I think this is part of the reason teachers are negative towards it. So yeah, it's really important because no matter how fantastic your PD was, teachers will need several times of hearing the information over and over in different ways, just like kids do, before they like actually get it and can use it in their classroom. So usually, it might start asking them, "Hey, have you used any of this in your classroom? Is there do you ha did you have any questions about something?" So just having those conversations, even if it's in like a team meeting or a staff meeting, instead of maybe asking one specific teacher, you might just ask generally, "Hey, remember last week we did this PD topic. We shared these three resources. Has anyone used any of them this week in their classroom?" And give them a chance to share feedback. And then just popping into classrooms again, trying to see if you notice them using any of the strategies you've given. You can always go back and have them have the opportunity to ask you questions about it. So I think just putting your eyes and your ears out to see if anyone is using those terms or using those resources that you have brought, then you're going to know whether or not it's being implemented at all.
Yeah, another thing I like to do is at the end of PD, whenever they make like a commitment about what they're going to try, we try to do that towards the end of a PD session. It's like, okay, how are you going to bridge this to your classroom so that they make some kind of commitment, whether it's like a sticky note or an exit ticket or whatever, or like a verbal commitment to another person. And then we might figure out like an accountability artifact. Okay, so I'm going to try this thing. So then during the next time we meet together for our PLC meeting that we have every week or whatever, we're going to each bring something. And it might not be next week. That might be too soon. You might have to give people some time depending on what it is. But you might say, okay, so we're going to try out this strategy. So I'm going to bring the student writing sample that shows that we did it. Or I'm going to take a little video of my kids, using this structure to share or whatever. And that can be helpful too, because then it's kind of like they know if they don't have any implementation, they're not going to have the thing to bring, and other people are going to bring their stuff. I mean, I can remember that feeling as a teacher, like, oh man, I need to do this thing because then we're going to have to share about it tomorrow. And obviously, you don't want to like strong arm people into trying things, but sometimes the only way it's important is if there's the expectation. It just there's so much in teachers' brains, right? That they're figuring out. So that kind of
At
thing,
some
it's like
point,
putting
they
more
have to
effort.
know this is an actual expectation that you start doing this.
Right. Yeah.
And so sometimes, that has to come from like admin. Sometimes the coach is enough. But yeah, they have to know that even after you have talked about it and you have given the information multiple times, yeah, there's going to be an expectation that I should see this in your classroom.
Right. And I think that varies depending on the PD that you're doing too, because there were some things that I did, like I taught people how to use, iMovie to make little book commercials. I mean, this was years ago. And that was like a fun thing. If you want to try it out, go try it out. There was not like a real accountability piece for that. That was another strategy you could use with kids if you're looking for some way for them to share about their reading and engage with technology in a meaningful way. But other things that we did, we're like, yeah, no, you're gonna, this is expected that this is a practice we're starting to use now. So if we're not using it, then there's gonna be a problem there. Like you mentioned, district initiatives are not really negotiable. And do I hate the phrase non-negotiables? I have hated it since I was a teacher and I heard it the first time, but they are accurate. If it's not negotiable, you got to do it. So you're always walking that line, I feel like, as a coach. So you mentioned part of the problem with like, you can follow up and see if it's being implemented. How can we provide support for that implementation to follow to the, to because whenever, like we talked about, people who see things up in, August and don't see them again, and then maybe there's not a lot of implementation because they don't have the knowledge that they needed because they got 2 days on it, and then we just kind of pretend like everybody was an expert. So, which is, not enough time really for people to get good at something, maybe multiple exposures, opportunities to practice. So how can we keep following up on that PD in a supportive way, not just like an accountability or follow-up way, check-in way?
I try and do it once I've done like a whole group PD or a whole school PD. I still try and present the information in like a large group again. So maybe that's a little bit at a staff meeting or a grade level meeting, something like that. And then after another time of doing it as a larger group, then I try and get smaller and smaller. To make sure, because sometimes teachers, if you only ever do it in front of large groups, you might miss some teachers because they're not going to come forward and say, I don't get this,
That's right.
or I'm confused about this part. So you really do have to keep going smaller and smaller to make sure you reach them all and get them all. So, some smaller ways of providing that support might be like doing a model lesson and inviting, several teachers to come and watch. Or it might mean identifying another teacher in the building or a few teachers in the building who are really good at this and pairing up some teachers to go and watch that teacher. Implementing the strategy. It might mean getting a couple of teachers and you're gonna help them with their planning, and you're gonna talk about the strategy and how they can implement in their planning. So it could be a one-on-one coaching cycle. There's so many variety of ways I've used. But yeah, having that starting from the large group, a little smaller, individual, and making sure that by the end, yeah, you are having that individual check-in with each teacher to know, especially if it is a non-negotiable thing that they're required to do. We want to make sure we hit them at an individual level and make sure that they have all the support that they specifically need.
Yes, I love that. The way I explain it is very similar. It's the idea of having like a tier one is the learning that everybody gets whole group. And then we move to tier two, and that's like differentiated teams. And so what I like about what you're saying is that you can approach that in different ways with different groups of people. So like the content can be a bit differentiated because maybe we're doing academic vocabulary. And so, maybe our sixth grade teachers are like, oh, I need to use this in writing a lot. But our pre-Ks are like, okay, well, what did that look like for pre-K? So we can differentiate with those teams the content and the mode of presentation or the mode of learning. And then we can dig all the way down to like that tier three individual support to make sure individual people have what they need to be successful. So that I really like the way you shared about that.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times I've noticed teachers, they see it with via whatever lens or example you provided in the PD.
One time.
So if you talked about it in writing, then it's hard for them to go outside of the writing box and realize, oh, you could also use this in math. You could also use this in science, or if I used it in an example in a younger grade, the older grades will think, oh, well, that's just for younger grades. So when you break it down to their grade level or their subject or whatever, then yes, that helps them realize, oh, here's how I personally could apply it in my classroom, and helps them see that in a more personal way.
That's such a good point. I read a study once about learning, and it said something about how, and this was with adults. It's funny because this is what teachers complain about with kids, but it's the same. So that very few, like it's a small percentage of people that can apply learning from this area into a different area. Very, like most people do not transfer learning. They just do not naturally do this. So then understanding that that's the way our learners are, instead of just being frustrated by it all the time, which is the other option, then we can plan for it and say, okay, I know that because I gave a third grade writing example in my workshop that we did together, and we used this strategy and read this text because we only had time to do this one thing, then I need to come back and say, okay, this is what it looks like in kinder. Or during that whole group presentation, we need to have differentiated materials for teachers right then and there, which would be great, if it's possible. okay, look through the activity in your bag. Everybody take it out. This is the lesson description. This is the materials. Want you to practice with it. Everybody's got 20 minutes to do this in your teams, and then we'll come back and talk about, whether that would work in your classroom or whatever. And that's one way to go about it as well, if you are unsure about being able to follow up with your differentiated teams. But I completely agree. We don't see the transfer of learning, and so we have to plan for the transfer of learning.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I loved to learn new things, but sometimes I was like, oh, this is not like my favorite PD. And so then I would walk out and like dump my brain out. I know I did
Yeah.
that, and I was a learner and I solved problems in my classrooms and I would look things up and research, but I still did that. So, we have to be
Yeah.
like, just know that people are human. And so the more planning we can do to support them in their humanity, the happier we'll be with the outcome, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for everything, Monica. Is there anything you wanted to add before we go about PD?
No,
Okay.
I it's definitely always, a struggle for teacher leaders and coaches and, because we always know that that time is so limited. But, the thing is, people need to get outside of this idea that PD always has to be everyone in the school sitting down for an hour and doing a PD. There are so many other ways that you can give professional development besides just that.
Yeah,
So,
such a good takeaway. How can people keep learning from you if they're interested in learning more?
my website is Seeds for Teachers. So you can find me on all social media handles with the Seeds for Teachers byline. My TPT store has a lot of resources for coaches. Like I said, that data, I have some resources there for how to collect whole school data. And that would be a great place to start if you're looking for just where do I start with professional development in my school? What do my teachers need? These are some different datas and questions that you can ask after you've collected data. So that's in my TPT store. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Sure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
I hope you love that information from Monica. I think it was practical. I think it was broad enough that you will be able to apply it to your own coaching work, no matter where you work and no matter who you're trying to support. If you are trying to create an action plan for yourself to figure out how to address teacher learning at different levels, head to buzzingwithmissb.com/action plan and grab the free action plan handout and video series that will walk you through how to set up a plan and gather your needs and figure out, what you need to focus on for three different tiers of learning at your school. And you can also grab the action plan toolkit. If you head to Teachers Pay Teachers and search for Buzzing with Miss V or Chrissy Beltran, you can look for my action plan toolkit inside my store, and it'll walk you through all of this and give you all the tools you need for PLCs, PLC meetings, PD, and individual coaching. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about distributed coaching. We're going to look at how we can run meetings with a collaborative structure to make sure that our teachers are actually getting what they need to do their best job for kids. And until then, happy coaching. Now that you've got so much to think about, head over to buzzingwithmissb.com to grab some free downloads, become a VIB, and check out the podcast show notes. Happy coaching!